now that superpowers is complete, what is it that I should collect? I'm trying to figure it out, but I don't really have any passion for anything right now.
Well, there's no... You already got some of the He-Man.
The only other one that I really care about getting would be Skeletor, like on a Panther.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to search on eBay for the right price and the right whatever, but I just don't... It was when I started doing the superpowers, it was one of those things, like, I've always wanted to go ahead and get them, but they're always expensive, and never really looked on eBay, but just kind of had it, like, in the back of my mind eventually, and that was part of the consolidation attempt to go, all right, instead of going and dropping $20, $30 every couple weeks over at the comic book store for a bunch of crap that I don't really care about, and probably am not ever going to even read some of this stuff.
Like, right.
I buy it out of the dollar bins. It fills up a run. It's cool to have. It's got a cool cover. But I'm getting like issue 3, 4, and 5 of some series from the 70s. It's going to be forever because before I can get issue 1 or 2, because they're not going to be in the dollar bins because everybody always snaps up the first 2 of everything because number 1s sell. So I'm like, So I started buying. I got the first one I got was Wonder Woman. She was like 10 or 11 bucks. And I think my second one that I got was Superman. And he was a little pricey, but he's in such good condition. Once I had those two, it was hard not to just...
You finish it up.
Just finish it up. Well, I just finished it up. And it's like a OCD thing. It's like there's a slot for Batman. I can't call it done until Batman's there. So therefore, I have to continue to look.
Right.
Have to continue to watch. Have to continue to ask around. Now that Batman's there, there's that collection to me is just... I'm done. I don't need anything else. But I also don't have that same sort of passion for anything else. I'm going, maybe I'll have a little extra money. Maybe I'll... I don't know. Hey, guys. We're just chatting. Welcome to Meta Episode. This is episode 29.5.
Happy middle of the week.
This will be dropping a day or two after the last episode that you listened to, whenever that may be.
So that'll be right around this time. I'll go ahead and do it now. Happy birthday to my son Noah and soon to be my daughter Olivia. They were born 3 days apart. Their birthdays are 3 days apart.
Okay.
One born in 99, another one born in 06. So it's birthday week. It's a very expensive week in the Fontenot house.
First week of May?
Yes. I told my son May 4th, he's going to have a blast with Cinco de Mayo when he gets in college.
Now, this episode may be landing on this date, or it might be landing a day before, a day after, but I have to say happy anniversary to my beautiful wife, Bride of Scary Dad. She puts up with all of my hobbies and quirks and weirdness. My rock and roll band, where... She and some friends were sitting there watching the band, and then they went across the street to the other bar for a while because we were loud. And when she came back, I was standing there pantsless because it just got that way.
Things happen.
Band practice, writing stuff, building stuff, making stuff. Always have to have a hobby or some sort of creative thing, some sort of creative outlet. Because if I don't, I just sit around and drink. I drink while I'm doing the other things too.
Right, but it's involved with it.
So, she supports me. She's really, really good about that. So, happy anniversary, babe. I love you. Here's to 9 years. Here's to 90 more. Yes, I will invent that thing that lets us be zombies together and
continue on.
We'll continue on. Maybe some of our limbs will be borrowed, but we'll make it.
You know, speaking of bands, I picked up a killer dime bag, Daryl. T-shirt the other day.
Oh, yeah.
In a clearance bin at Hot Topic. Pretty cool. Yeah, it was recently, his birthday was recently, if I'm not mistaken, like 2 weeks ago, I think.
Probably so. I don't have the capacity to look it up right now, but we turned off our phones and we keep them far away from the microphone because we still haven't re-recorded that one episode.
With all the feedback,
but we do apologize and we will get back to you on that. If you did listen to that episode, again, it's still out there. I don't know how you can download it because I did erase it from my server, but it's still floating. So if you did listen to that, that's not us. That's not normal us. Normal us sounds like we do now without the...
Yes, about that background. That was just weird. It went on forever.
I know, it just wouldn't stop. So this episode, quick, casual, we're just talking about some collectibles, some movies, some music, some things, but somebody posted a question the other day, and we're going to answer it in probably more detail than anybody ever wanted to know. But somebody asked us, what is that one thing, that one scary movie that either first or the one that had the greatest effect on you?
As a child.
As a child. That just kind of haunted your nightmares forever. So we both answered, but the forum in which we answered is probably not populated by most of the people who listen to this show.
So we thought we'd talk about it here, too.
It was pretty damn interesting. So, and
just a quick shout out to old Tony. Tony Garcia for bringing up the question to us. He always throws stuff the scary dad way just to get our opinions on different things in the horror genre.
And we need to get him on the show. Yeah. I think he'd bring a lot to the table. Oh, yeah. So if you're listening, man, time. Hit me up. So what was yours?
The one that I could, you know...
Set the stage. The wind was blowing.
Yeah, not quite. Started watching rated R movies at way too young of an age with my cousin, and we just fell in love with horror for some reason. But that was early 80s, so it was right in the middle of all the B-movie chaos. We'd get They Live. Me and him rented They Live. I'm sorry, It's Alive and Basket Case more times than I can remember from the same video store. We would just always pick it up and watch because we thought the movies were hilarious. They were horror movies, but they were funny as hell. And Blood Diner, that kind of stuff. And the one that I saw, the first one that I saw that really like just kind of freaked me out, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then Friday the 13th. Those, as a child, those would have me like just looking over my shoulder at night, that kind of thing. That's the first one I remember that really, really got to me. Bad.
See, yeah, I mean, I don't... Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one of those that I appreciate because it is very effective. I don't enjoy watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It is too real. It is too visceral.
That was a thing with it.
That was the point. You right. Get his point across. It is capital execution. It is a brilliantly done film. But that said, like you were talking about, like Basket Case. You can sit around and watch that. You can enjoy it. You can have your friends over. You sit around. You laugh. You eat some popcorn. Somebody
but
farts.
You know nobody's gonna show up with their little brother on their in a basket on their hip.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre goes to a different level. I mean, it was so realistic and just so dirty and so well done.
I mean, it had a date where stuff happened. You know, it just made it all the more real.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, God, I think because I was such a sensitive kid, I think if I would have seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre at that young of an age, I'd still be shuddering in a hospital somewhere. Like they would have been like, something's wrong.
It was a rough movie, man.
I mean, it's tough. Somebody gave me the DVD for Christmas. I gave it away as a giveaway because I'm just like, I'm not gonna watch this. I know what it's about. I don't want to sit down and just revisit this.
What about the sequels and remakes? You ever Texas Chainsaw Massacre? You ever get into any of those?
I've seen them all. Well, I haven't seen the remakes.
One of the remakes I like.
So part two is the one with Dennis Hopper with the guys in the truck.
Yep.
And he chops off the dude's head as the truck's running by. I've seen them a long time ago. I don't remember details, so they kind of mix up in my head. I remember enjoying them as more schlocky horror than the first one. That first one seemed like a documentary.
And the third one was even worse as far as the schlocky horror.
Well, those are the ones that I'm talking about. Like, you can watch them, and they're so bad.
You don't
take
them seriously.
Yeah, you don't take them seriously. The first one you take seriously.
Oh, yeah.
That one's tough.
It could really happen. Like I said, it was based on a true story and it had a date. Those two things by itself, you know, you just... As a kid, you assume that they really happen.
Well, of course. It's like nobody lies on the internet. Why would you believe that somebody would put based on a true story if somebody didn't? And after we read about Ed Gein and his nipple pull tabs, people done some evil stuff. You know, it could happen. So, no, believe me. I mean, the ones that I have on my list are they're candy corn compared to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah. I believe that there's a couple of just general queen mothers of all-time scary horror movies, and that's one of
them. That's one of them.
So if that gave you nightmares, and you still thought it was cool later, it's like, wow, kudos to you. You got some balls of steel right there.
and at night, just thinking about Friday the 13th at night, it's kind of, like I said, make me look over my shoulder if I hear noises and stuff, but it was just, after seeing that movie, just sneaking up on you, don't know when he's there,
Yeah, the thing that Friday the 13th used to get me, but I wouldn't even watch the Friday the 13th movies. And we'll get into my list in a second. Once we're done with your top couple, Friday the 13th was one of those that there's something about that mask. There's a reason why when we did our Friday the 13th episode, there's a reason why it resonates. And I think it's probably the same situation as with Scream, how that mask just has a look. But it's only because they put a camera on it, because that mask has been hanging in drugstores for 100 years.
And it doesn't make me jump when I walk in.
And nobody really cares about it, but you put it on and it's a seemingly normal situation. And yeah, whoa, anybody could go to any store, throw on that mask, and become a killer.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, so what? They find it in your closet. They'll find it in so many other people's closets, and at that same drug. You know, like, there's nothing about the mask itself that makes the mask scary. It's the thing behind it.
Also, the anonymity. You don't know what a person is capable of that might have the mask on. You don't know who it is behind the mask.
And why is he doing this?
Right.
Why? Why is he so? Why is he so mean? He's just driven to kill. And
even with Friday the 13th, you know, compared to Blood Diner, there's a scene in Blood Diner where he takes this woman and he shows her head in a fryer. She pops up with a big hush puppy on her head, and then he hits the head off with a broom or something. This shit can't happen. compare Jason to that. Jason can happen. You know, that's...
Yeah, he just stabbed you with a machete.
It's so realistic, you know?
Absolutely. Friday the 13th, I think, was that thing that... And we talked about it before. I think that's the thing that made me love horror movies, because it was the thing that I got so stressed out over being scared of things that finally I just had to tell, I had to use my mind and tell my mind, you've seen these movies. You cannot stop him. If he's here, you're done.
Right.
So just go to sleep. Because there's nothing you can
do about it.
You just have to relax. This is my brain telling young me, son.
It's going to happen.
I'm not telling you there's no monsters under the bed. I'm not telling you there's no monster in your closet. I am telling you that whatever's under your bed or in your closet is going to get through the sheet.
You ain't going to do nothing about it.
just close your eyes and go to sleep. And after that, I woke up and was like... Now I kind of am curious, like, what's up with that? So it was Texas Chainsaw and Friday the 13th that got you.
Those were the first ones I really remember just like I said, just freaking out about it. It weighing on my mind and stuff.
For me, mine was Psycho 3. Now, we talked about how being a kid with cable, being young cable kid in the early 80s, you just had whatever was coming on TV. You
right.
didn't have a chance. You couldn't pick from Netflix. I think, like I said in one of our earlier episodes, we had a VCR before there was a video store. So my dad bought the VCR from wherever he bought it from. He also, like, he bought a whole bunch of old, like, Laurel and Hardy and Betty Boop cartoons and stuff, just whatever VHSs were available wherever you could buy. We didn't have a rental place in the little town we lived in, and whenever it came up, me and my cousins would sit there and, like, go look at the videos. I remember, like, it was Friday the 13th part 4, which is my favorite Friday, but just that mask with the knife stuck through the eye.
Yeah.
That would just, I'd stand there and just stare at that, and I'd flip it over, and it had the pictures like the scenes. You know, and one of them, he's like reaching into a car, choking somebody or whatever. Like, I remember that stuff. But my parents wouldn't rent that movie for me. I was a kid. But man, Psycho 3. It was 1981. No, it wasn't. That was the next one. Psycho 3, I don't know when that came out. It was like 1982, 1983, something like that.
23.
So I'd have been like 8 years old.
Probably so.
But the whole movie, I don't even remember the whole movie. There was a scene in Psycho 3 where Norman Bates... So in the movie, Norman Bates doesn't realize. Like, he flips stations. He's multiple personality.
Yeah, he thinks he's doing fine. He's had...
So whenever he becomes Mother and Mother kills, he doesn't remember having done it.
Yeah.
So Mother kills this girl. Norman finds her. And then he buries her, or he hides her in the ice chest.
I remember that scene very, very vividly.
And she's in the ice chest for a while, in the ice machine at the hotel, the ice maker. And so he knows that she's in there, but he's got to defend his home or whatever, and he's afraid because he's not the one killing people. He's healed. So he doesn't know
who's
going on.
Who's doing it, yeah.
But the sheriff comes up, and the sheriff's talking to him. The sheriff knows who he is. It's not like...
The sheriff would go over once in a while and check on him to make sure nothing was going on.
And the sheriff is standing there, and he opens the ice chest from behind. He lifts it up, and he reaches in behind him, and there's a little spot of blood. And he reaches down, and he grabs the ice right next to the spot of blood. And there's a girl's face sticking out of the ice.
Yeah, I remember that scene very vividly.
And I remember, like, it's... She's right... He's right there. She's right there. But then he's free to kill some more. And I remember that just vividly. That stuck in my head. And I remember being so scared I'd scream. I'd have nightmares. And my dad would be like, "What?" And I'm like, "That movie." He's like, "It was a stupid movie, son." It's like, and my dad was such that he'd be like, "If you think that's scary, you should watch the first one." But no, that is just stupid. Don't be afraid of that. That's all... And he's right. If you watch it now, it's a horrible movie.
Yeah.
It's really, really
bad.
But
that, just the imagery with that.
That scene has haunted me. To where even now when I think about it, like, I have that little bit of a shudder. And it's just, like, stuck in my head forever. We talked about this one, but I had to do it a little bit of Google Foo. We should put on my Ninja Google gear and floated into the deep, deep web, like page 3. Of Google. But I found it. So I've told the story about how there was this show that my parents, my dad was watching. Dad, probably my mom too. For whatever reason, my dad plays heavily in these, but I think it's because I ran to him and like grabbed onto him. But where this guy is being terrorized by the neighbor's cat, and the neighbor's a witch. And at the end of the thing, he asks, "What are you, a witch?" And he looks under the bed, and she's under there, and she's like, "Yes." So, after my Google Foo, I found it. I found it, I found it, I found it. There was a anthology series called Dark Room. And this one is called Catnip, and it appeared in episode 5. It was from 1981. So Dark Room was a 7-episode series. But it was an anthology, so there's 16 separate stories in the series, but it was canceled only after 16 episodes, so like maybe a season and a half. And it was hosted by James Coburn, of all people.
Wow.
Yeah. And anyway, I found this website that tells about the series, and it's got like synopses of all the different stories, and I remember several of them. And like one of them... David Carradine was in it, and a guy, like, he's a drifter, and he shows up at a bar, and the guy's like, "Oh, you know, I can give you a job," and he takes him to the haunted amusement park, and then drops him through a trap door and feeds him to some monster in the lake.
Damn.
So Catnip.
Okay.
And it's got pictures, and I'll post those pictures, but those things where you're thinking, like, man, maybe I don't know, was it Tales from the Crypt, Tales from the Dark Side, Crypt of Shadows, Crypt of Horrors, something else comes. There was something.
And it I was. Found it. Yeah, that imagery with the witch under the bed is just like in It with the clown in the sewer.
Mm-hmm.
That's not supposed to be there.
Exactly. Well, and the thing revisited, like, the image in my head is she's laying under the bed, but that doesn't seem right because it seems like she's like, what it is the synopsis of the story is the cat is terrorizing him. So he rigs up a little explosive device because he's like a veteran. So he's back from Vietnam. He rigs up a little explosive device on the cat door of his house that he's renting, trying to kill the cat. She triggers it and he kills the witch. And then the cat just starts terrorizing the hell out of him and like scratching him and being everywhere, and he's like feeling guilty because he killed the lady and stuff. But then the cat runs and gets under the bed, and he looks under the bed and it's not her, it's her head.
Yeah.
That the cat has turned into. And that is the imagery that's just stuck me. Is you go look under the bed
and it's facing straight up,
and it's just like, oh my god, how fucked up is that?
But back then there were so many movies and also series that had those type of little vignettes that some of them just, they were so well done, they just stick with you forever, man.
In searching for this one, you said you've been watching Amazing Stories.
Mm-hmm.
You got the DVD?
Yeah.
Have you rewatched that one with it's kind of like Back to the Future with Christopher Lloyd in it?
Yes. Teacher. Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that one.
That was directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Really?
And they used the sets for Back to the Future.
Oh, wow.
Man. That same website was showing how Amazing Stories...
I'm going to dig through it a little bit.
Yeah, how it was still set up for Back to the Future. So even though it's happening in 1986 when it was filmed, the characters run out through the town square and there's still like 50s vehicles sitting on the curbs and stuff.
Wow.
It's like, and he's got Christopher Lloyd in it and they take his head. Well, like, remember?
I remember that.
Like, they rip his head off of his picture and drop it in to... Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to dig through that a little bit so I can check some of it. See what kind of memories come back. Just some of the stuff that we saw. Another one, Twilight Zone, the movie. That one, the one where the little boy controls the family, has, like, kidnapped all these people to make his own family. That one used to creep me out a little bit, just thinking about that scene. And the John Lithgow one, when the gremlin's on the airplane wing... That he did an amazing job acting in that one. I mean, the terror that he exhibited.
John Lithgow is pretty brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite movies I'm trying to find is World According to Garp. Now, I think he did an awesome job in that movie.
You can find that one pretty easily, I'm sure.
I got the book. I found the book, which was pretty good.
But, yeah, John Lithgow, did you ever watch Dexter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, I was selling a box set of it, a couple of box sets
that,
of it right
that
now.
Second season of Dexter where he's the Trinity Killer?
Yeah.
John Lithgow's acting ability. It was funny because we were watching Dexter, and then my wife was like, "Oh man, it's too scary." So like, let's watch Third Rock.
he's funny.
He's really, really good.
He could do a psychotic person real well, because in Ricochet with Denzel Washington, he did a pretty good one there too.
That one movie with Sylvester Stallone where there's Cliffhanger, yeah, in the mountains, and he's just evil as hell. It's crazy how. I mean, everything's gone to, like, bank robbers or to terrorists now, but back in the 80s, it was all about bank robbers.
There's lots of bank robber movies.
Cliffhanger was bank robbers, and, what was it?
It's Point Break.
Point Break was bank robbers. Die Hard was bank robbers. Like, yeah, so I'm going to pose as an international terrorist in order to cover up my bank robbery.
Yeah, but a bear bond stealing.
Stupid. So what other things just kind of stuck in your head that you just can't get out? Like those nights when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, that can't be real.
Well, the thing I have nightmares about the most are serial killers, just kind of like a... some Michael Myers type serial killer type thing, and drowning. For some reason, that since I was a kid, driving off a bridge and drowning has always been just a horrible thing for me. I've had so many nightmares about that stuff. Especially when I was nine, I went to Bridge City for Thanksgiving, and I crossed Rainbow Bridge, and I have never been the same since then.
Wow.
I always have nightmares. Rainbow Bridge is huge. Just going over it and get to the peak, and once you start coming down the curve, there's no bridge there. You can't see. And that just always has been just real, real stickler with me since I was a kid. Wow. I'd wake up screaming all the time for dreams about that. Mm. Horror movies? And that's but that one thing, drowning, was just bad for me.
See, I think I might have been a sailor in another life that got eaten by sharks. I remember when so my parents moved from Houston to Corpus when I was five and or six, like in that. So 1981, they moved to Corpus. So we were still living in Houston, which would have made me solidly five. And I remember a dream. And so a five-year-old's mind, how does a five-year-old's mind process this stuff? And I don't know from where, but I remember that inside of the dream, it was kind of like a James Bond sort of, there was an indoor area with a tank full of sharks. And it was kind of like a zoo, aquarium sort of thing. I only say James Bond because it looked like a control room with this, it's kind of like Deep Blue Sea, where they had like the water.
There's know, access like, right there.
There's access to the water, whatever. But I remember being there, and I remember there was a whole lot of sharks, and I slipped, and one of them flipped up out of the water and grabbed me around the waist and was pulling me down. And I was holding on behind me with a shark around my torso, just like in Jaws. And I remember waking up with my arms like this, and I'm between my mother and my father in the blankets right there. And it was like a heavy comforter, like, pushing down on my chest. It was realistic as hell. But in the dream, that mofo was biting down on me. And I was 5 years old, and never, like, I've been obsessed with sharks ever since.
Right.
But I don't remember ever seeing anything prior to later on when I was like 8 or 9 years old when I saw Jaws 3. I could have. They might have gone and seen Jaws 2 in the movie theater for all I know, but they swear that they didn't. But
man. Something brought it up, though. Something put it back there.
Something. So yeah, anything shark related, I'm both obsessed with and terrified of. Like, and I'll have dreams about sharks.
We used to catch a lot of them when I worked offshore, man. Even on once you get them out of the water, they're still scary as hell.
Yeah, dude,
they fight the whole time.
It's a torpedo with teeth at the front, with a brain the size of a marble, and the only thing inside that brain says eat.
It's a pit bull that swims real fast.
Yeah. They're just mean as hell. What else you got? Scare me, man. Scare me. We just went through a whole episode of torture. Some of that scary stuff. I do not have dreams about being on the rack.
I don't. Well, one other thing that people often are scared of with clowns. I've never had an issue with clowns. They haunted houses every once in a while. Those will get me. My daughter is actually better at going through haunted houses than I am.
Yeah.
I think because I have just instilled with her the separation of fantasy and reality so well. That wasn't done to me when I was a kid. So something still every once in a while just pops in and. I could get nervous going around corners. When she was six, she led us around the corners in one haunted house. The group I was with,
nice.
It was me and these two women I didn't know. And yeah, she's the one that brought the group around every corner, man.
I'm taking my daughter to Disney World. She's on Tower of Terror, the Haunted Mansion, every scary roller coaster. And she's like, let's go again. That's awesome. Like, Tower of Terror. She wanted to go explore all the haunted stuff. She's like, why can't we go in there, Dad? Like, because we're not supposed to. It's all broken and haunted. She's like, but I want to see. Like, no, you can't, because we'll get in trouble. We'll get kicked out of the park.
Man, I remember my daughter's much different than my son. When he was probably six. No, he was he would have been 6 years old. It was before my daughter was born. We went to the Ripley's Museum in San Antonio. I had to run out of there's a little scary section. I had to run back out with him because he was freaking out so bad, man. See, a haunted house kid freaks out, there's all these exit doors that you jump into. Over there was
a museum.
Yeah.
The guy with the candle in his head.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was a big predator or something that was in there, and that freaked him out and stuff. And it was just he was just bawling. He wouldn't look. He just had his face buried in my shoulder. I was like, dude, you're six. What are you doing, man?
You mentioned clowns. I never really was. Well, I have a story about clowns. I actually wrote about it on the blog, but it wasn't clowns in general. My parents took me to the Barnum and Bailey Circus when I was probably like 5 or 6, and they shot the big old cannon, and the clowns would get up in your face and be like, and like squeeze the horn. So it wasn't like they weren't funny clowns. They were
annoying.
They were in your face, like trying to scare you with loud noises and stuff. But the thing about clowns that got me is my grandmother made this needlepoint. And it was like a hobo clown. And it was brown hobo clown. He had his hat, and he had an orange hair sticking out the side. And he had a little sad face. And it was this needlepoint, and it hung on the wall in my room. And when I was laying in my bed, the moonlight coming through the cracks in the windows or whatever would shine right on him. And he looked a little bit scary. And then after that Barnum and Bailey thing, I was like, I'm not into clowns. I don't like it. So I'd stare at it, and you'd keep me awake, and I'd be like, just like Bart Simpson, can't sleep, clown will eat me, can't. Until I realized, like, so I'd get up, and I'd run, and I'd jump, and I'd knock it off the wall. And of all places, I'd put it under my bed.
For it to become personified by something.
But as soon as it was off the wall, I was okay, and go to sleep. Well, unbeknownst to me, because of course when you're 5 or 6 years old, everything you do is permanent. Clown's taken off wall, shoved under bed, case closed, demon defeated. Go to bed the next night, there he was, up on the wall. Hop up there, knock him down, put him under the bed. Next day, he's up on the wall. Put him between the mattresses. Next day, up on the wall. Take him out of my room, into the bathroom, shove him between some towels. Boom, up on the wall. I'm like, son of a bitch. This fucker's relentless. And so finally, like, I don't remember, like, I finally told my mom, and then my mom, like, uses nice guilt. Like, your grandmother made that for you, so I can't take it down. I'm like, so can't sleep, clown will eat me, and if I don't, the grandmother will be sad.
You think she'd be sadder if I get eaten?
She's like, and so then I was older and I told her that story. She's like, you never told me you were scared of that. I was like, I did.
Why do you think I put it in a bathroom?
She's like, I was wondering why it kept finding different places. I was like, if you thought it was weird that it kept going different places in the house.
There's a reason why.
By itself, isn't that even scarier? Like, we all have a laugh about it now, but when it came out, I'm like, I totally relate.
Well, you know what I was get worse? It. what got me worse than it, actually, now that I think about it, is the clown from Poltergeist. That mm-hmm. doll. That had me creeped out when I was young.
That was rough.
That's a scary movie. To this day, the scene where she's in the kitchen, she turns around, and when she looks back, all the chairs on the table, makes me jump every time.
Yeah.
Just for some reason, I just jump. I know it's coming, but it makes me jump anyway. That's such a well-put-together movie.
The clown thing, they did it so well. Where he sees it, and he throws the shirt on it, because it's bothering him, and then whenever he wakes up, and it's not there, and he's like, he looks under the bed, and it's not there, and he looks under the bed, and it's just like, God, gotcha! It's like Steven Spielberg, he set it up so well, that it's like, we're not going to do a normal jump scare.
Yeah.
We're going to set it up to where there's the potential for, like, 3.
And you get to the point where you think everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. Evil-ass clown. Yeah. And they change his face.
Yeah, he ended up getting all sinister and everything. Yeah, that one, when I see dolls like that after that movie, I wouldn't want to go anywhere near. Dolls are creepy a lot of times.
Going to my grandmother's house, she used to have, I don't know why she had this, but she had, like, an African Nefertiti statue, like the
black resale shop.
It would be now. I think she got it on, you know, but it was like this black. I don't even know, like It was back in the days before they really did stuff out of resin. Okay. So it was like a ceramic statue.
Really smooth.
Of an African queen with that headdress. Yeah. Like the tall, flat top. Yeah,
slender neck.
And she also had this painting of this horse that would follow you. Like whenever you walk, the eyes would follow you. And of course, I'm coming from Scooby-Doo, where the eyes did follow you because it's got holes in the paintings where they're looking through. Like, I used to hate sleeping in that room.
See, my paternal grandmother, she had all the religious ones that would do that. And that used to always creep me out when I slept at her house when I was a kid. She had some actual photographs, old photographs that used to just... the bedroom I slept in, I would just put them down. I didn't want to see them, man.
Don't hide your clown. Mom will come in there and put it back up.
I remember I loved my grandmother so much. She was all into National Enquirer and Star Magazine, all that kind of shit.
Mine too, dude.
And she thought that shit was real, dude. I loved going to her house because I could read through all of them and see all these just insane stories about stuff.
I used to love going to my grandmother's. So she had National Enquirer like crazy.
Stacks of them. Like I said, she believed all the stuff in there.
It was, yeah, dude. I remember that. She used to call them scandal sheets. That was what she called it. She was like, oh, yeah, I got my scandal sheets. And I got my stories. And
that's when, National Enquirer tries to be a little serious now. That's when it was the same as the Star, just totally out there. Oh, yeah,
completely out there. Aliens and all of that stuff. I used to love reading that stuff. I love that conspiracy theory stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, cryptozoology and just weird ghosts and stuff. And she didn't just get Enquirer and Star. She had Weekly World News.
Yeah, Weekly World News. That's what I was trying to remember. That was the best one. That one had, to this day, it still has the best story.
Yeah, this is good stuff.
They had cool t-shirts that you could buy from two different covers they had.
The Bat Boy.
Bat Boy is the one that came
in. Yeah, it was one of the most more popular ones.
Yep.
But, yeah, dude, I get my grandmother would just, like, she had stacks of this National Enquirer.
Yeah, and like I said, I'd just spend, you know, hours going through all of them.
Just reading, yeah. Oh man, I wish I could go back and reread some of those. Those are fun.
Yeah,
those are good stuff.
Good memories, man.
I remember because she was so involved in the like the National Enquirer, like the scandal sheets or whatever. I remember the conversation was about Dolly Parton. I don't know what the Dolly Parton was supposed to be doing or how it was misinterpreted from one thing or another. But we were at a family gathering and somebody mentioned Dolly Parton. She's like, oh, she's doing this and this. And they're like, it was like a tour or a TV show or something. And they're like, no, she's not doing that. And my grandmother's like, she told me she's doing it. And so then of course everybody's like pulling up a chair like, she told you how she's like, you know, like, and not ironically, but
she's
like,
excited because she like, talked to Dolly Parton.
Dude, you talked to Dolly Parton, and she's like, "Oh no, it's just in the news." And she like grabs her National Enquirer.
The news.
Like she told me that she's gonna do this TV show or this talk show or whatever. And like, but man, it was so cute. She just had it like down. She's like, but everybody was taken aback. Like, you don't say.
You
like, how do we know Dolly Parton?
Dolly Parton was huge at one time, man.
She's getting huge again.
She like, came up on Match Game 78 a couple days ago.
When I watched it.
Yeah. It was a Dolly Parton question.
She's getting huge again. She was out of retirement for a while, and now she's coming back and doing tours.
Yeah.
Tony went to her show. He posted that on Facebook. Like, oh, I'm at Dolly Parton. I'm like, you don't say. That's crazy.
I got a couple of her concert tour books that I'm selling right now. But you ever been to Opera Land?
We've been through that little area of Tennessee, uh-huh. but we never stopped.
Yeah, Opera Land's pretty cool. I've been there a couple of times. But, a lot of Dolly. There was like a Dolly. Remember how at Astroworld they had the theater you would lay down? And it was one of those, but it was like a Dolly concert was part of
nice.
Everything. Remember that very well.
You see down her shirt.
Yeah, she, God, 9 to 5. I used to love that movie just for that reason.
It's funny, dude, because not like Dolly Parton and my grandmother, like, but when I think of Dolly Parton, when I hear music, I just think of my grandmother just being like so happy. She loved her. She's just like, you know, used to like dance and sing and talk about how, you know,
when Best Little Whorehouse in Texas came out, that was like a series. At my age, that was a very risque movie to be watching.
I was not allowed to. I was, yeah, that was They used to, like, when I told you outside a little while ago how people were proper, they wouldn't even say the name of the movie. They'd, like, say it behind their hands. Like, Marvin Zindler. Like, that whole thing. It's like Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. I remember watching that being, like, all sad. Like, not sad, but just disappointed. Like, there's no boobs in this.
And then
because I was used to Porky's and stuff. And, like, man, I always... Smokey and the Bandit, like, so many shows that had...
Like, it was better innuendo than that did.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Smokey and the Bandit delivered, man.
Now, which one? It was Cheech and Chong's Still Smoking? Remember when they went to Amsterdam? Everybody thought they were Bert and Dolly. Mr. Bert Reynolds, Miss Dolly Parton. They kept calling Tommy Chong Dolly Parton. He was like, yeah, that's me. Mr. Bert Reynolds.
That's funny. I love a good old Cheech and Chong, man.
I didn't get to see him when he came to Houston a couple years ago. A friend, I was talking to somebody a couple days ago, and they said that they had lost a step.
Did they?
Significantly, yeah. But, I mean, at that time, they were just such good friends, and just they fed off of each other, and, you know, they're different people now.
Well, yeah, they're old professionals.
Yeah, well, they both went different paths. You know?
But that's what I say, is they're old professionals. You can't get back... You think about, like, your old days, like your campfire days or your bonfire days. Like, oh, man, I used to sit around and sing songs with these people all night, and we used to sit there and smoke and drink and party, and you're like, okay, well, I don't smoke anymore, and when I do... It starts to make my head hurt, and I can't possibly drink as much as I used to. I have to pee every 5 minutes. I haven't played guitar in years, and I don't remember any of those freaking songs. So
it's not the same anymore.
Yeah, if we were to try to get the band back together, it would be a pretty sorry looking band. Like, I need to get up in the morning, guys. I got little girls. Speaking of which, my daughter's sick.
Oh, I'm gonna
pick her up from daycare today. And it sucks whenever you have to go pick her up and she's looking at you and it's like, I'm talking to her daycare lady, which is her granny, you know, it's Granny Carol. It's the lady who takes care of my daughter.
Right.
She's not my daycare lady, but she's got her daycare rules that she has to follow.
Right.
So I go knock on the door and she opens the door and my daughter's sitting there and she's just like got this sunk look on her face and she's holding her glasses in her hand. She just looks up. So I'm asking Carol what's wrong, like the symptoms, the fever, did you give her anything, has she eaten? This one's like, Daddy, I don't feel good, I'm sick, I go home now.
You don't need an explanation.
She's three. She's like, I'm not having you. You don't need to talk to her. I'm telling you, I'm done. Like, put me in the car and take me home. Like, fair enough.
I'll figure the symptoms out later.
So, yeah, I'll be home with sick kid tomorrow. So, no watching scary movies. Have to watch Winnie the Pooh 4 times.
That's scary enough.
Maybe I'll get to work on some next episodes. I think our meta episode just started crossing into regular episode territory.
Okay, it was fun.
It was. It's a good conversation. We need to do this more often.
Just kind talk about something.
Just freeform bullshit, because it's good times. Hey guys, everything, like, share, comment, post, review,
subscribe,
quick, like, star, whatever.
Contact us. Let us know what you think. Give us some ideas. Give us some opinions. Feel free. We'd like to hear from y'all.
And happy anniversary to the beautiful wife.
Happy birthday to my two little freaks. And don't forget, Comicpalooza coming up here in a couple of weeks. If you're in the Houston area, make sure you get some tickets. Come check it out. It's going to be a good time.
Come meet us. We'll talk. We'll drink a beer.
Later. We'll be right back.
from the cream.